All right, so lesson 6B. And help me out by answering these questions quickly, if you will. The first four words of the Bible are, in the beginning, God. In our prayer with Alex, we talk about learning things that will build our character. That will start everything with that. In the beginning, God. And that will help us prepare us to meet Him. What power did God use in creating the world according to Hebrews 11 and 3? His Word. And so throughout Genesis 1, God said, and it was so. Who tempts men to sin? Satan. Satan is the tempter. That's how sin entered the world. Why was the world destroyed by a flood? Okay, Aurora, what did she say? That's right, because sin entered the world and everyone was in sin. Good answer. Very good. All right. And how many, if you're over 10 or over 13, don't answer. How many were saved from the flood?
Eight.
Eight? All right. Good. All right. When did Noah secure the benefits of God's grace and his faith? That's probably not a good question. Very clear to me.
When he built the ark and he went into it.
That's right. When he built the ark and went into it, when he obeyed. So grace, faith, and obedience was involved in salvation of Noah. In our prayer with Alex, we talked about learning things that will help us to teach. I'll tell you, the story of Noah is a great lesson on the role of grace, faith, and obedience. All right. So, what does a rainbow, if you're over 15, don't answer. What does a rainbow signify? How about back there? Anybody, young people in the back, got the answer? What does a rainbow signify? Oh, yes, sir. That's right. That God would never flood the earth again. Destroy the earth by flood. Very good. All right. And what are the names of the three patriarchs that recur again and again in Scripture?
The Christian, the Jewish,
and that's the dispensations. That's okay. That's good. No, you studied. Okay, Cole?
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Very good. All right. So the three dispensations are what now, Aurora? Aurora, what are those three dispensations? Tell me again. What's the other two?
Christian and the Jewish.
Got them reversed, but that's right. Jewish and then Christian. All right, good. All right, and what great promise was given to these three patriarchs that affect us? Anybody on this row? What? That's right. Everybody heard Danny, didn't you? The promise that related to Christ coming, in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He had the right answer. Very good. And when Abraham's faith was tried by requiring him to sacrifice Isaac, was his faith counted for righteousness? Or when was his faith counted for righteousness? Excuse me. When? When he offered him up. James 2 said, faith without works is what?
Dead.
It's useless. All right. So great. Another one of those lessons we're studying in our overview of the Bible that will help us with what we prayed with Alex to help us to teach. What caused the people who left Egypt to murmur, complain, and fail to obey God according to Hebrews chapter 3? Unbelief. I heard somebody say unbelief. That's correct. Unbelief. Okay. And then the men in the patriarchal dispensation who found favor with God were certainly not perfect men, but there's one thing that characterized them all. What is it?
Obedient faith.
That's so very important. They were saved by grace based on an obedient faith. They weren't perfect men. But it's that obedient faith. That's how every man that's ever been saved will be saved. It's by an obedient faith. Not by being perfect. If the penalty of sin is death and all these men sinned, how could God allow these men to escape the penalty and at the same time maintain His moral government? That is, these men in the Old Testament. How could He do that? We have the verses there. Do you remember? Somebody asks you, you're out talking to somebody about the Bible. Say, I know that Jesus takes our sins away, but what about all those people in the Old Testament? They weren't perfect. How can they have hope to be saved? That's right. Jesus' blood covered their sins as well. That's the only way they could hope. And these two verses I have, Romans 3 and Hebrews 9, discusses that very point. Do we have to build an ark, leave our country, or circumcise our children? And if not, why not? Why not?
Covenants weren't made with us.
That's critical. Critical concept. Very good. Thank you. All right, we have the chart for the Jewish dispensation. I have it here in five divisions. So we start with the Mount Sinai, the giving of the law. Now you'll note we have Exodus 20, all the way through Exodus, all of the book of Leviticus, through Numbers chapter 10. Now look down in your lesson, giving of the law. So look at Exodus 19:1. In Exodus 19:1, in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. So here they are at Mount Sinai. Okay? And chapter 20, the Ten Commandments are given and various laws are given. All right? Now turn over to Numbers chapter 10. So here you got all that pages in your Bible. Remember the first five chapters cover about how many years? About 1,600 years. Here we are, all the rest of Exodus, Leviticus, and up through Numbers chapter 10. Look at verse 11. Now it came about in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th of the month, that the cloud was lifted over the tabernacle of the testimony, and the sons of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sinai. Note at the end of the verse, or look at verse 13. So they moved out for the first time, according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. So they were at Sinai for about a year. Good lessons in that you don't judge how many pages, tells you how much time is covered. A very important section here at the giving of the law throughout that section of your Bible. All right, so then we have the wilderness wanderings. So they left, Numbers 11, and they could have got to the promised land and entered it within what? About 6 weeks or 6 months or what? It's 11 days journey. Why didn't they go in? Unbelief. And so God consigned them to wander in the wilderness. And so there you have your 40 years in the wilderness. And I just put here from Numbers 11. Actually, they got to Kadesh Barnea. You'll see that 13, 14. God was displeased with them. But we just put Numbers 11 through Deuteronomy 34. So about 40 years. And then the next period in your Bible, Canaan and the Judges. And so we get Joshua. What was Joshua's role? What was he? Was he the first king? Led the people into Canaan. Conquered the land. Allotted the land. So we got Canaan. That's Joshua. And then the period of the judges. You got the book of Judges. Was Samuel a judge? Yes, he was. Samuel was a judge. Were there any judges after Samuel? He had two boys. They were rotten. good man with rotten boys. And so the people wanted a king. God was displeased. Samuel was displeased, but God allowed their request. And so then you have the period of the king, which was our next section. But the Canaan and the judges, we'll go through 1 Samuel 9, all right? And then we have the period of the kings, and you got two divisions of that. You got the undivided period. How many kings was that? Three. Who were they? Saul, David, and Solomon, right. Period about 120 years, about 40 years each. Then you got the divided kingdom. And then you got the Babylonian captivity, where they were taken into captivity. The southern kingdom was taken into captivity. You got the return. And that period about 135 years. Now note on the chart, then you have a period of silence for 400 years. That is, no prophecies, no prophets from the time of Malachi to the New Testament. That became significant because when the prophets began to reappear, like Zacharias, Mary, Simeon, Anna, every one of them pointed to Jesus as the Christ. And that's Paul, if I understand Peter's argument in Acts 2, that's his point. So, period of silence, no prophet, 400 years. And that's the period between what we call our Old Testament, New Testament. Actually, the Old Covenant continued until Christ died. Okay, so then we have, so 1 Samuel 10 through Malachi 4, the life of Christ, Matthew through Acts 1. These divisions are somewhat arbitrary, I understand that, but maybe they're helpful. To kind of, all we're trying to do is become good students and know where to go in our Bibles and what does this section of the Bible deal with. And when you're studying with your children or teaching a class to the children, that you can help them grasp where everything fits. And that's what this chart is about. Okay. So, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, what is the book of Deuteronomy? Second giving of the law. Did he sit down in a room somewhere and write it out again? Is that what it is? He preached. It's a sermon. Second giving of the law, it's what he did. He talked about the law. He talked about their history. And we're reading his sermon. So in Deuteronomy 5, he goes back to Exodus 20. What happened in Exodus 20? Giving of the law, the Ten Commandments. God appeared to them on Mount Sinai. All right, so look at Deuteronomy. Now, he talks about the background of what he's going to say here in chapter 5 and chapter 4. If you're familiar with the events at Sinai, when God's voice came from the mountain, what did the people do? They were afraid. So you talk to God for us, told Moses. They trembled. So look at chapter 5, verse 5. While I was standing between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up the mountain. What is a person called who stands between two people? Mediator. And that's why we have the Galatian passage that's on your lesson. In Galatians 3:19, that he was the mediator of the Old Testament. He stood between God and the people. Law was delivered through Moses. So it's appropriate that the first five books of your Bible are called what? Law of Moses. That's right. So he was one that God used for that purpose. So when you think about the word mediator, you read Galatians 3, go back and read Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 5. Now, this next point on your lesson, you may say, why do I have that on there? There's a practical benefit. Once again, and I appreciated Alex's prayer that what we learn will help us to teach others. If you meet a Sabbatarian, what is a Sabbatarian? It's somebody who believes we ought to observe the Sabbath today. and you're discussing the Bible with them. They might ask you, why don't you follow the Bible? The Bible says remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So what's your answer? What do you tell them?
That's the old law.
They'll say, that's right. But they'll say, in the old law, there was the law of Moses and there was the law of God. In the law of Moses, we don't keep anymore. We don't have to go to Jerusalem, for example, three times a year. But the Sabbath law, that's the law of God. And we're still to observe that law. That's why these passages that I have right here can be valuable to you. Let's look at the book of Ezra. The verses I have in Nehemiah show the same thing. There's no need to read both of them, but I just want you to observe. Now, Ezra, verse 6, was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And so he was one who was very knowledgeable in the law and equipped, therefore, to teach it. So note it says he was skilled in the law of Moses. All right. Now look down at verse 10. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of God and to practice it and to teach its statutes and ordinances in Israel. You see that law of Moses and law of God are used interchangeably. Same thing in Nehemiah. So this distinction that's made to try to justify keeping the Sabbath because, oh, that was the law of God and the other laws were the law of Moses, is a distinction without support in the Scriptures. So maybe if you're talking to someone sometime and you need to discuss it, you'll remember that this is on your lesson. You can go back and look it up. And that can be very helpful in diffusing that kind of an argument. All right, in Exodus chapter 20, you start reading what most folks know, the Ten Commandments. And so when we talk about the law, we may think, well, that's the Ten Commandments. And it is the Ten Commandments. But in the chapters that follow, and we're not going to read it today, 24:8, you'll see there were a number of other laws that continued to be given. And then Moses sprinkled the Book of the Covenant, which included not only the Ten Commandments, but those other things that were written up through that verse there at 24:8. But I want you to go to Deuteronomy. So we have the law given at Mount Sinai. About what period of time was that? About 1,000 years ago? Around 1450, 1500. About Sinai. Now Moses is preaching this sermon in the plains of Moab. About what time frame? About how much later is that? About 40 years. That's right. About 40 years. Because they wandered in the wilderness. They're at the plains of Moab, getting ready to go in the promised land. So Moses is preaching this sermon. So in between Exodus 20 and this passage, Deuteronomy 31, you have in Exodus 25 through the end of the book. What's that about? Anybody remember? Tabernacle. You have the instruction for building the tabernacle, and then you have them completing it according to what God had commanded. You have the robes the priests were to wear, the offerings that were to be offered, either daily or monthly, those kind of things. Then you got an entire book called the Book of Leviticus, which gets its name from what? For the tribe of Levi. What were these men?
Priests.
Okay. So, you got the book of Leviticus. Now, the first 7 chapters deals with sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices they were to offer. Chapters 8, 9, and 10, the institution of the priesthood. Chapter 11 through the end of the book are laws. Various laws that were given. So, 11 through the end, laws. And then you got the book of Numbers. And now you got Moses' sermon. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 24. Moses is nearing the end of his life. Look what he says. It came about when Moses finished writing the words of this law in a book. Would that include Deuteronomy? Yes. Would it include Leviticus? Yes. And he said, until they were complete, that Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that remained there as a witness against you. Now, you don't have it on your lesson. I've added some other verses if you want to write them down. And when I update it on the, send it to Wally and he updates it, we'll have these other verses on there that show the same thing. Chapter 28, verse 58 and 61. Chapter 29, verse 29. And chapter 30, verse 10. So I've already added on my copy, but it'll be available on the updated copy. Now look at Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Okay, we haven't talked about Nehemiah yet. But those of you who are Bible students know what role Nehemiah played. About when, does anyone remember, did Nehemiah enter the picture? What time frame? About 458 B.C. So 1,000 years later. And now Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem for what purpose?
Rebuild the temple.
No? Rebuild the walls. Ezra, Zerubbabel went back to rebuild the temple. And Nehemiah went back to rebuild the walls. If you think about that, that will cue you into the other. So anyway, we're here in Nehemiah chapter 8. And so here we got Ezra again. Ezra and Nehemiah are contemporaries. And Ezra is taking this opportunity to look verse 2. He brought the law before this assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. And so he's reading from what it says, the law. You see that there. And in verse 1, he calls it the law of Moses. The law of Moses. Okay? So now we go down to verse 8. They read from the book, from the law of God. So you, again, you see them interchangeable. But what I want you to note is verse 14. They found written in the law. Now, right here in this chapter, it's called the law of Moses, and it's also called the law of God. But look at verse 14. They found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. You may have a little letter there that, and a reference out in your margin. The Feast of Booths, where was that written about? What book? Leviticus. So Moses said, I'm going to write all the words of this law. Deuteronomy 31, also chapter 28, 30. All the words of the law. But that included, that law of God, Nehemiah 8:8, included the Feast of Booths, where they had to go to Jerusalem and build these booths, or quote-unquote tabernacles. And it was a great feast. So I put that there to show that Leviticus was included in what they call the law of Moses, or the law of God. And so the Ten Commandments, the idea that it's just the law of God, and the rest is not, is simply not so. Okay. This next point that's on your lesson, the term law was sometimes used to refer to the Ten Commandments, sometimes used to the... What do we got humming here? I don't know.
Did you hit the pitch pipe up there somewhere?
Oh, yeah, that's this crazy thing. Okay. Y'all want me to hurry up quick, put that buzzer on there, didn't you? I don't even think where I was here. Oh, the term law. The word law is used of the Ten Commandments, but it's also used of the first five books of the Bible, including Genesis. And then it was used by the Jews to refer to the entire Old Testament. So when you see the term law, you have to look contextually at what's being referred to. But that could be a valuable tool in your Bible study, just to remember that. And I've got verses down there on your lesson that show that. But I want to have time for these last five questions. We've got about 15 minutes, so I want to spend that last 15 minutes on these last five points that we have on the lesson. This is critical. This is dealing with concepts that are not understood in the religious world today. And this can help you not only in your own understanding, but in obviously in teaching your children and teaching others. So go back to Exodus 19. Riker, when your dad drove up here today, what side of the road did he drive on? The right? Why doesn't he believe in obeying the law? The Britons are told they are to drive on the left side of the road. Why do you think he didn't drive on the left side of the road like this, the law of Britons? It's not a law to us. That's right. That's right. So here's the question on your sheet. People say, why don't you observe the Sabbath? Why don't you observe Passover? Why don't you have animal sacrifices? Why don't you have instrumental music? All right, these five questions can help us with that. So here's Exodus 19. In the third month after the sons of Israel. Who are sons of Israel? Who's Israel? Jacob. So who are sons of Israel? Descendants of Jacob, right? The 12 tribes. Okay? Had gone out of the land of Egypt. Not only does it tell you it's talking about the sons of Israel, but it's talking about that nation who was in Egyptian bondage and came out of Egypt. And so, look at verse 3. Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel. So this law, this covenant, was given to Israel in the Jewish dispensation. That's the feature of it, isn't it? A covenant made with a nation. And that's exactly what you have here in Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 and 3. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Okay, now Moses preaches about that event here in Deuteronomy 5. Let's look at what he says, verse 1 through 3. Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances which I'm speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. The Lord God made a covenant with who? Us. Where? At Horeb. What's another name for Horeb? Sinai. Okay? The Lord, now note, did not make this covenant with our fathers. Were the people Moses talking to, many of them even alive at Sinai? No. Been 40 years. In fact, their fathers are the ones God did make the covenant with. Their physical fathers, the biological fathers. The one they might have called daddy. But they died in the wilderness. Fathers here... What? Well, I'll give the answer away if I say it, I guess. Another name for patriarch is what? Father. He's talking about the three patriarchs we talked about. Go back and read it in the chapter before. This is the way they talk with our fathers. In other words, this is not made with the patriarchs, but with us, with all those of us alive here today. The Lord spoke to you. Some of them were children. Some of them were born in the wilderness. What do you mean the Lord spoke to you? To this nation. They represented the nation of Israel. It was a national covenant. That's the idea. So, to whom was it given? It was never given to Christians. It was never given to people in the United States of America. It was given to a nation who came out of Egypt, whom God selected to be a special nation. And you don't drive on the left side of the road for the same reason you don't observe the law of Moses. It wasn't given to you. All right? Why was it given? All right, let's look at Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Now let me ask you a question. Was it wrong to commit adultery before the Ten Commandments said you shall not commit adultery?
Yes.
Yes. Was it wrong to steal before the Ten Commandments said you shall not steal?
Yes.
Yes. So, the Ten Commandments were not necessarily introducing something new, but establishing these laws for the nation of Israel. Now, there's one of those that were peculiar to them, that's the Sabbath commandment, because it commemorated their deliverance from Egypt. But, over in Galatians chapter 3, why the law? That's our question. Look, why was it given? That's what Paul is addressing right here, verse 19. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. So, if you have cancer but don't know it, do you go visit a cancer doctor?
No.
Will that mean because you don't know it, you're less likely to die? No. And so, here's a far greater disease, sin. If people don't know it, doesn't mean they're not guilty. They're going to die. In fact, you're already dead. And they need to be made aware of that, so they say, I need to find a doctor that can help me with this. But there's only one doctor. One. That can help with that disease. He's called the great physician. But if I don't realize the severity of my illness, I'm not going to be interested in the great physician. The law was added because of transgressions, to make people aware of their guilt and lead them to seek the cure that God was planning and working out. That was the purpose of the law. Look at verse 22. The scripture shut up all men under sin. I have here on the lesson, will not take the time to read it, Romans 7:7, I had not known coveting till the law said you shall not covet. That is, wasn't that coveting wasn't wrong before that, but the law brought it to the conscience. Man, I'm guilty. That's the idea. And so, the scripture shut up all men under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. Before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. And so there's why the law was given, to make man aware of his sin. You go get an animal, you go offer it. Once a year is the Day of Atonement, solemn day, you bring all these animals and they're offered at the deal. What does that make you conscious of? Guilt. I need atonement to be right with God. God was paving the way for his plan to redeem man through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the law was given. All right, while you're there at Galatians 3, now the next question is, how long was it to last? Note, verse 24. The law has become our tutor. When we use the word tutor, we think of maybe a school teacher. But the word had a different meaning to them, and I've got the definition at the end of your lesson in the footnote. When they use the word tutor, it'd be somebody that would take say, Danny's going to, it's time to go to school. This guy'd show up. All right, Danny, get your car. Let's see if you're dressed properly. All right, come on, let's go. And I want you, here's how you're going to talk to your teachers today. And next year, here comes this tutor. Next year, here comes this tutor. Finally, Danny graduates. He's 25. Does he want that tutor around? Say, hey, I'm grown. I've completed my education. That's the idea of a tutor, and that helps understand his illustration. He said the law was a tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Now, note, now that faith has come, that is justification by faith, we are no longer under a tutor. See? And so if a 35-year-old man went back under a tutor, you'd say he's regressing. And that's the idea. If you go back, that's the Galatian letter, if you go back under the law, you're regressing. And so it was intended to last until justification through faith was made possible. All right, look at Hebrews 8. Well, I'm not going to read it for sake of time. I'm getting low on my time. But you can read Hebrews 8. And it talks about the first was taken away so that the second could be put into place. A great text. Hebrews 8 and also chapter 10. All right, are we under it today? I will turn to Hebrews 10 on this passage. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus, when he was going to come to the earth, said, "Behold, I come to do your will, thy will." He takes away the first what? Covenant. What we call the law of Moses. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will, the second, which in chapter 8, that's the new covenant. By this will, we've been sanctified. So that's how you sanctified under the new covenant. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, the practical application, you look at Colossians chapter 2. There were those who were trying to get the early Christians to observe the law of Moses. But Paul is explaining to them that they're not under it. And look at the practical application in chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or respect to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath day. You're not keeping the Sabbath. I'm not under that law. It's the new moon. It's first of the year. You're going to offer your sacrifice. No, I'm not under that law. What are you doing eating chicken or ham? What are you doing eating ham? I'm not under that law that forbade it. That's the idea. Don't let anybody judge you because you're not under that law. All right. And so we're not under it today. Why study the Old Testament? Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It said it's for our encouragement. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. He said these are examples for us. Great value in studying the Old Testament. Hope you see that in our study of the Bible survey. Quick quiz, real quick. Number one, the Old Covenant was given at Mount Sinai. The national covenant God made with Israel is called in Scripture. What are the correct answer or answers? Law of Moses, law of God. Is that it? And also the first or old covenant, right? All three. And number three, what's the correct answer or answers? C and D, right. All the books are sometimes called the law. Psalms and prophets were sometimes included in what is meant for the law. The law of Moses was given to who? A, the nation of Israel. The law of Moses, number five. What's the correct answers? A and C. That's right. Intended to function as the law till Christ came, was given to make men aware of their sin and need of a Savior. If you haven't, we encourage you to do the additional reading. Be a good for family reading. Good to review, to remind. And of course, review the drill questions. All the previous drill questions. Not just the ones at the head of the next lesson, but all the previous drill questions.